Father, open our ears even more to hear what you're saying so we can obey you even more. It's all about you and your kingdom and your will be done in this place, in our lives, on earth as it is in heaven. That's all we want. It's your will as it is. As it is. Even now. In heaven. Holy Ghost, help us to see. Help us to hear. Give us obedient heart. Continue to follow you, to be led by you, to wait on you, and to be in your presence all the days of our life. On earth as it is. On earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done in Zion, in our lives, on earth as it is, Father, as it is, Lord, as it is, Holy Ghost, as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. As we wait on the Lord, the Lord will keep giving us understanding for what He's doing in our hearts and what He's doing in this place. I want to explain what the understanding the Lord is giving as we're here right now and what He's doing. Because you might not be aware of this, but you're pleasing the Lord. This house is pleasing God's heart. Really pleasing God's heart. And the Spirit of the Lord will be teaching us and guiding us. And let me share what He's saying, what He's doing, what He's showing to me. First, the Lord wants us to know that we are pleasing Him. You might not realize, you might take it lightly, But it says we're pleasing him. We are pleasing to him. Thank you, Lord. Let me go ahead and explain a few things. It's coming to me. I'm trying to process and write some things in my heart and mind so I don't forget. But we just hear what the Lord wants us to know, even now. Jesus. Jesus. The first is a question we need to answer in our hearts as he takes us deeper into what he's doing right now. And the question is, what is it? What is the degree of efforts or concern or desperation you will show to something you lost if you want to find it? What is it that when you lose it, if it's lost, and you want to find this thing, you have to find it. What are the degrees? What is the weight you put on something? The value you put on something when you lost it for you to find it? Think about that. Now, if you lose, you misplace, you lose a pen, how will you feel if you don't find that pen? Or what effort will you put in looking for that pen? You know, you might look around, I'll get another one. I have many pens. You lose a shoe. You can look around for it. Might be the best shoe you have. It hurts a little bit. You'll find another one. You can walk, get some money. What is it? What kind of weight will you put on looking for it? You forget your church shirt in church? What is it? You forget you lose your key to your house, to your car? Mind you, these things are painful. These things, they provoke concerns. But what degree? Because something says, I can call somebody to open the car. The worst comes, I can make another key. What is it? What really breaks you that you know that when you lose it, you can find it? What effort can you put? A car? They steal your car? You cry, you look for it, of course it's painful, but eventually you can get another car. What is it? Money? How much money? your lacks. My rent money, big money to pay my mortgage. What kind of money? After a while, the worst you can go through is you can borrow money, you can find money, you can work for it, you can, some way is very painful, but it's not something that you give up your life. You know you can find it. What is it when you lose? Let's go a little bit deeper. Is it a family member? Is it me, my son, my wife, or my children? They are missing. Like Jesus was missing when they went to the temple. They start looking for him. They stopped. They went all over looking for him. What is it? I believe the most so far that will create an urgency, that will create a very broken experience. Maybe you will not even sleep. Maybe you will give up a lot of things. You might cancel going to work, cancel going to school. You cancel a lot of things if you're missing your child, or you're missing your husband or your wife. It will pretty much take a lot of your attention. It will occupy you. That's the closest to understanding desperation. Something dear to you. What is the degree of something, how important something is to you, and what degree will you put to getting that thing back? So, do you know, you want to know why God says he's pleased with where we are going, what he's doing? The Lord was showing me some people look for him like they're looking for a pen. Some people look for God's presence. God's presence. They're looking for a lost key. Some look for him, they're looking for a lost pair of shoes. Some seek him, they look for him like they're looking for their lost car. So it's not really important. I can do without it. I can find another way. As deep and as great, probably the most we can is family. Some look for him like a lost family member. God says that is the best most people can offer me. They look for me. They seek for me. But the Lord said, if you will seek for me, if you will seek me with all of your heart, if you look for me with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all that is within you, you find me. He says, we read the Bible and we cannot interpret What will make a king like David lose his mind when the ark was coming back with joy? The ark represents the presence of God, represents the glory of God. Israel lost it. They lost it. It was taken away. They were comfortable with the various ways that they could find the hand of God. They could find ways to hear from God. But they were very okay without His presence, without His glory, for many, many years. But as a young man, that for generations to come, and generations to come, even in the lips of Jesus, that God keeps going back to His roots, that God keeps talking about Him all the way from the Old Testament, the New Testament, to the book of Revelation, that God gave the key to His heart. This young man sought for God at a very young age. The greatest thing that will keep you from your highest call is trying to take people along with you. When you get there, eventually you can take people. But there are some things you have to dig. If you don't press in, if you don't go for God one-on-one with everything in you, you might limit where God is taking you as a person. David described the absence of God, the absence of the presence of God like this. He says, God, you are like water, and my thirst for you is equated to the pounding of a deer that is thirsty for water. If I don't find you, I cannot live without you. I will die. In other words, I'm looking for you, and there is no need for me to live without you. If I can't find you, there's no use for me. David described God like this. He says, my flesh, my soul, everything that I am longs for you in a dry place. I want to see your glory and your power so much that everything my flesh wants, my heart wants, my soul wants, everything I thirst for is for one thing, is for you. Psalm 63. David described, remember when he was writing all these things, he was a human being going through problems like we all are, going through situations like we are, lost, being in bad situations like we are. But in the midst of every problem, in the midst of every success, his greatest desire is, I have you, I have nothing. If I don't have you, I have nothing. And if I can't be in your presence, I die for thirst of you. So, you could imagine, when he was now made king, why? Bringing the presence of God back became his first mandate, the ark back. He could not sleep. He could not rest. He says, I can't go to my bed. I can't give sleep to my eyes until the ark finds its place in the midst of Israel. Oh, Jesus. My brothers and sisters, is already a king. He the height you can give to any man to be. He's hit the height of political authority, financial authority. What do you want in life? They just gave it to him, and he put all of them behind and says, God, if your presence doesn't come, I'm not going to be a king. You see, what is not important for you when you're young? What is not important to you when you're in school? What is your priority when you are doing whatever you're doing? If it's not God, whenever God blesses you, it will never be God. He cried. He was so desperate. And as they were bringing the ark back, bringing the presence of God back, the glory of God back, they were trying various means. Listen carefully to what the Lord was showing me while you were pleasing him. You don't know what you're doing right now. But if God says you're pleasing him, don't lose this opportunity. Whatever you're receiving is a key to God's heart. They were trying so many ways. And they were failing. People were dying. Why? Because they've lost the ways of God. If you don't know the ways, means you've lost him. And because we've lost him, they've lost him. They've lost the way to bring him back. The Bible says all the children of Israel knew were the acts of God, the hands of God. Moses knew his ways. You have to know his ways to lead him, to walk with him. They've lost the ways of God. And they've lost the ark of God. All they knew was his hands, because it was his hands were still prevailing in Israel. So as they were trying to bring him back, they've lost his ways and things were not going the right way. People were dying because they've lost the ways of what the way of serving God, of hosting his presence. So finally, in the midst of this trial and error process, somebody died now and they put the ark in the house of the name of a man called Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom was a worshiper. Obed-Edom, good studies, like a worshiper. Nobody knew what Obed-Edom did. It's when you read the rest of the Bible, you know that his DNA is a worshiper. But all they knew that they went to David, and now David is already praying and crying out to God, seeking for the ways of God back, how God can come back to his church again, to his people. They said, God is blessing Obed-Edom's house. God is pouring blessings. So something is pleasing to the ark, to the presence of God, in Obed-Edom's house. Today, we might not know the discussion they had with David, but when you're looking for something and you find that, you're going to sit with that person and talk. Then he consulted, did some consultation, some research, going back to the roots of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he went back and he found out the proper way that the ark can be brought back. And then he prepared to bring the ark that way. He set up the process, and the Bible talks about the blood sacrifice. So there must be blood. And we know the Old Testament was animal blood. Animal blood. But in the New Testament, there is no thing you can do without the lamb, the blood of the lamb. The reason Revelation 5, they said, who can open? Who can do this? Who can do that? Oh, everybody was consigned. He says, don't worry. The lamb, the lion of Judah has done it. That blood still remains the only way. The only thing that has made way and will always make way to the throne room of God. David saturated the movement with blood. Everywhere with blood. Every step, every... You can go read every step they took. Blood. And when David saw, after a few steps, listen to this. After a few steps, they've not gone very far yet. A few steps, and he saw that God was pleased. He knew they were on the right way. And he stayed on that track. But there's something David did as soon as he found that God was pleased. Because David knows that he has this personal intimacy with God. David was completely overtaken. He has now found what Israel lost. He sought for it with his life, with everything that he has. How can I bring back the presence of God? How can I bring back the ark? What can I do to bring the glory of God back to Zion? My brothers and sisters, when he found it, who are you to tell David, even if I'm naked celebrating, you don't know what I lost? You don't know what is coming back to Israel. You don't know what I lost. You're looking at a human king. But the King of Glory is coming back to live in our midst. I was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now what? I see. How many of you knows the condition of a blind man that the eyes open to see? How many of you knows the condition of a lame person that Peter and James says, you can walk? Do you think you can stop those people from dancing, from rejoicing, from celebrating? Do you know what that's what worship is? Is the impact of you finding something in your heart that your flesh don't know how to respond. That's celebration. That's worship. Worship does not start from the head. It starts from the heart. And it consumes you. Let me say this. I don't know if you've read it, but you can go read it. Herod, Philippi, was married to a woman and they had a daughter. And do you know that it was a celebration they were having at the king's palace. The daughter danced and danced and danced and danced. Something happened to Herod's heart. You see, dancing will make so a king say, daughter, anything you want up to the half of my kingdom, I'll give it to you. What happened to his heart? Because somebody was dancing, no, it's more than a dance. John the Baptist's head was slain because somebody stole the heart of a king through dancing. He danced to the point when you see your daughter celebrate you, your presence, to a level that your daughter appreciates you and mesmerizes you with joy and celebration, you are taking over. And the king says, daughter, whatever you want, you can have. Up to half of my kingdom. And the mother said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. So the greatest prophet that lived before Christ's head was the prize of somebody that pleased the Father in worship. Reverse it around. If Satan can steal the key of worship to human hearts and can use it to kill a prophet, why do you think the Bible in the book of 2 Chronicles 20:20 with Jehoshaphat and with Paul, why do you think the worship of Paul and the worship of the children of Israel and Psalms 149, why do you think God uses worship to wipe out the strength of darkness when you truly please God in the place of worship? Why do you think the whole book of Revelation focuses, the end chapter focuses on what's going on at the throne room of heaven? Let me close this way. The reason why the Lord said we should seek him is because we've lost him. And God used David to show us we can seek the, people can seek the hand, people can seek this, people can seek so many things, it's part of it. But he used David to show us the key to turn God's heart and for God to turn your heart is a place of worship. So that's why David used worship after a while to bring God back to Israel. The Lord is leading us, is inspiring us to bring his glory back in our midst, in the church, individually and corporately, through worship. And the little we are experiencing right now, that's why the first thing that came to my spirit says, you are pleasing him. You are pleasing him. If we continue with what we're doing in this level, my brothers and sisters, you will not have a need that cannot be met. I don't think you have an obstacle that cannot be destroyed. I don't think you have a mountain too big that cannot be crushed when God is pleased. I don't think you have a way that has been closed that cannot be opened. It's all there in the Bible. When you please God, God will settle your enemies and put them in their place. We've lost the glory of God, and we've replaced it with all kinds of things. Now God is calling you. You are Zion, and He's calling us. He wants to come back and take His place, and He's gradually coming. It's happening. My brothers and sisters, God is coming through to this place. He's just telling us, stay the course. Because I will do something in your midst. I will let you know I have come back. Is it a lame person that wants to walk? Is it a blind person that wants to see? Stay this course and see what happens. Is it a miracle you need? Stay this course. So we're going to continue. The month of May, every Sunday, we're going to continue. But one element we need to be mindful of is the blood. Our righteousness can't do it. Our zeal, anything, we must be mindful to stay under the blood. Stay in that blood covenant. And as we take communion this morning, this afternoon, take communion and re-covenant yourself and say, God, upon this covenant, I build my confidence, my relationship, my righteousness, everything with you. The blood forgives. The blood cleanses. The blood is our DNA. The blood is why we are sons. The blood brings our inheritance. With this covenant, with the promise of God, begin to spend personal time in worship. And when we come here, it will be different. If Sarah spends time praising God, worshiping, Adesi is spending personal time, when we come here, it will not be a force. It will not be somebody pushing. We'll come and we'll be united, and God is going to move quickly in our midst. There's something God showed to me, but I won't say much, but I'll tell you, God's glory is resting in this place. And we are about to find our place of authority, our place of dominion. We'll talk about that as soon as God gets our heart back to us in unity. So please come. And as you take this communion, see this as, this is the only way. That's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's His blood. It's the Lamb. It's the only way. It's the only one. And it's only His sacrifice. The faith in this, it what gives us access to His glory, to healing, to restoration. So as you take it, remember, say, do this in remembrance. I am your righteousness. It is my blood. It's the Lamb. It's the Lamb that has made the way. It's the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood. It's a covenant between you and Him, between Him and us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. You're raising Levites in this house. You're raising worshipers. You're raising praises. You're raising men and women whose hearts are now after your heart. Father, you're turning our hearts back to you and your heart back to us. You're circumcising, you're washing away our past. You're cleansing us and you're bringing us back to covenant relationship. Father, as we receive, what you've done for us through the blood of your Son, Jesus, the only Lamb that is worthy of our union with you, our oneness with you, through his blood. We stand today to say thank you. And through this blood, Father, we remember you made a way for us to dwell in that secret place with you. So, Father, today we say we've not come to ask for anything, but we want to say thank you for the blood. Thank you, Lamb of God, for your sacrifice. Thank you for the access you've given to us. Thank you that you, through your blood, you've made God our Father our inheritance. Now you've restored your glory. So, Father, we thank you. We receive this today as a memorial of a covenant relationship. And we make a decision, Father, to live a life of adoration, a life of worship. May our life in all that we do, in our serving you, in our job places, in all that we do, may it be a living sacrifice. May we love one another. May we forgive one another. May we help one another. May we serve one another. May we do those things that will make us a living sacrifice, that our life will be a pleasing worship unto you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Seal your words in our hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the vessels you're using in this time of consecrating ourselves in worship. We give you all the glory and honor, for you are worthy, Lamb of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You can take. Thank you for the blood. Amen. We're going to keep our daily worship. 7 p.m. every night, we want to press into it. We're going to keep our Sunday worship. And as God teaches us, establish wisdom and guidance through his word and what he's doing, share. And I'll be sharing with you amazing things that God has been showing me about this season and the kingdom of God as we go in this season. Amen. God bless you so much.